Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week I caught up with a friend. Over a coffee he shared with me some of his struggles at work. A number of things just weren't going well for him. And no matter what he tried, they just didn't seem to improve. Understandably, he was tired and fed up. He felt helpless and in a hopeless situation. A few days later, I was doing my personal Bible study, a podcast going through the book of Revelation. And in the podcast, the teacher was explaining how Revelation was written by the Apostle John to encourage Christians to patiently endure their sufferings, including for some of those early Christians, physical persecution. The teacher went on to link that reading from Revelation chapter 1 with today's reading from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. As I listened to the podcast, I was struck with how relevant Romans chapter 5 was for my friend's situation, and I shared it with him as I will with you today. By the way, this sequence of seeming coincidences last week is just one example of how Christians experience the Trinity. Unlike his dramatic appearance of wind and fire at the first Pentecost, which we saw last week, God's Holy Spirit usually, at least in my experience, speaks to us in a still, small voice and guides us through often mundane experiences. Note, however, that the Holy Spirit doesn't act by himself. His leading is never unconnected to the rest of the Christian life. Rather, he draws us into the life of the Trinity through God's Word. And it's there, in God's Word, that we can fully and reliably experience the Trinity. So let's see what God has to say to us today. To properly understand the reading from Romans 5, we first need to understand the meaning of the word justification, which Paul has extensively spoken about in the preceding chapters. The term justification is theological shorthand for having our relationship with God restored, put right again. It comes from the language of a court, where it is used when a person is acquitted of the charges which are brought against them. We are told in the Bible that we need justification because we have sinned against God. We have rebelled against him, and we fail to obey his laws. We should be declared guilty and sentenced to punishment. Indeed, God would be within his rights to execute us as traitors. Yet God, in his mercy, doesn't enact the death penalty. Instead, because of Jesus' self-sacrificial death on the cross and perfect obedience to God's law, God declares us justified, not guilty. Justification is summarized in Romans chapter 3, where Paul explains, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Next, in chapter 5, Paul explains the consequences of our justification. He starts, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." But here's where it gets a bit strange. You'd next expect Paul to wax lyrical about the wonderful life that we now have, that we are justified. But instead, Paul talks about suffering. Why? Because sadly, though we are justified, we have not yet been perfected. Our sins have been forgiven, yes, but their destructive effects on us and on others have not been fully removed. Until our physical death and resurrection, we will continue to suffer because of sin. But, as Paul goes on to explain, our situation is not hopeless. Though Christians will experience suffering while living here on earth, we also experience the Holy Trinity working in our lives. Because of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have hope in suffering. Why am I preaching at length on such a depressing subject? It's because I know that many of you are suffering right now. Suffering is a reality for you, not an abstraction. For some of you, your suffering might be like my friend's suffering at work. That seems to be particularly prevalent in our society at the moment, particularly off the back of COVID. Workers, students, even leaders and pastors of congregations are tired. They're stressed and overworked. And here in our congregation, I know that some of you are suffering because a loved one has died. Others of you are suffering ill health, especially a sickness, whether physical or mental, which may never be cured this side of the resurrection. Many of our members are suffering the effects of old age. You are no longer able to do what you used to enjoy, and you're not able to participate fully in the life of this congregation anymore. And some of you may not be suffering directly, but you suffer along with your loved ones. You are caring for someone who is suffering, and that brings its own suffering on you. So suffering is a reality for you, and no doubt many of you are asking the question, how do we deal with all this suffering? What hope is there for the future, especially when the suffering is prolonged, when it might even be lifelong? The short answer, which I will unpack properly in a moment, is through the work of the Holy Trinity in your lives. But before I discuss that, I also want to suggest that it is helpful to recognize that we are not the only ones who have ever suffered, or that somehow today's suffering is worse than in previous generations. Now, I don't say that to downplay the reality of your suffering, but rather to help you see it in perspective, to help you see that you are not alone. The Bible is full of examples of suffering, because the Bible was written by real people, to real people, suffering real situations. Now, on the one hand, that might sound a bit depressing, but on the other, it's encouraging. It means that the Bible does have something to say to us today as we suffer, and that the Bible's comfort comes from a place of experience, not theory. And what comfort does the Bible bring? Well, in today's reading from Romans, Paul starts by reminding us of the hope that we have. We have hope won by Jesus on the cross. We are justified. We are made right with God. And because we are justified, we have peace. We don't need to fear the wrath of God for our sins anymore. And we know this because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was gifted to us at our baptism. So now, despite our suffering, we live at peace with God and peace with one another. And we are empowered to love Him and to love one another. What's more, through justification, we are promised eternal life with God and all who love Him. An eternal life which is not just a continuation of this life with all its sufferings, but a new life free from suffering. Paul confirms and strengthens this hopeful message a few verses later when he says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? This is the reason that we Christians can have hope, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that is also why Paul assures us that our hope in God will not put us to shame. Non-Christians may laugh at us when we put our trust in God and yet still suffer problems at work. They might mock us with the question, "Where is your God?" when we pray and yet we're not healed. But Paul says to these accusations, no, we don't need to be ashamed of our faith. In actual fact, we can boast in our hope. And what's more, we can even paradoxically boast in our sufferings. Yes, our suffering on earth is very real. Paul himself experienced his fair share of suffering. So I don't believe he's saying that we should seek out suffering or try and enjoy it. Paul's not encouraging us to become masochists. But Paul says that we can boast in our suffering because God promises it will have an end. Eternal suffering is not the lot of Christians, although it is the lot of those who reject God. Instead, God promises us an inheritance of eternal glory, a life free from suffering. And the hope of this glory puts our earthly sufferings into perspective and helps us to persevere. As Paul declares in Romans chapter 8, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Now, this is all well and good for those of us who have hope. But what if we don't? What if, like my friend last week, we feel hopeless? This is where the middle section of our reading provides some practical advice. Paul explains that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. I don't believe that Paul is saying here that we somehow have to bootstrap ourselves to a place where we can hope again. It's not through sheer willpower that we will overcome our sufferings and eventually receive hope, a bit like a prize for our efforts. Rather, Paul describes how God uses even our darkest moments to restore us to hope. All three members of the Trinity are present with us in our suffering. Because through Jesus' own suffering and death on the cross, God knows what life as a human is really like. Sometimes he may cut short our suffering and fix up our problems. But more often, he simply sits with us, like Job's friends sat with him in the ashes of his life. God sits with us and helps us to simply persevere, to endure, to go on living, even when our suffering overwhelms us. I must admit there's nothing glamorous in perseverance. People who have endured great suffering rarely see themselves as heroes. They just hang on because there's no other choice. But God can actually use and transform this perseverance. He uses it to grow our character. And finally, in this new godly character, matured through perseverance, God restores our hope. He restores our hope in his goodness and love, despite appearances to the contrary. He restores our hope in a future free from suffering forever. Does this mean then that we cannot do anything in suffering? Do we just sit around passively waiting for our situation to improve? I don't think so. While we can't necessarily create hope in ourselves, we can actively seek God's gracious care as we suffer. We can, for example, turn to God's word in times of trouble. Often when things are good and going well, we forget about God and we neglect spending time with him. But when we suffer, we become more attuned to the whispers of the Holy Spirit, who wants to assure us of God's love. And if we let him, the Holy Spirit leads us back to God's word and the assurances that we find right there. Assurances of a better future, and assurances that God is with us now, sitting with us in our suffering and helping us to endure. We can listen more intently to God in our suffering, and we can also speak to him more. We can pray. We can ask God to bring an end to our suffering, and we can ask for his help while we suffer. But what if we struggle to pray? What then? Well, we're invited to use the prayers that God gives us in his word. Aside from sharing in our Lord's Prayer, which we do every Sunday, where we pray, for example, for deliverance from evil, we also have the Psalms of Lament in the Bible. These are prayers of God's people who have experienced suffering similar to us. So, for example, Psalm 69 starts with this plea, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail, looking for my God." The Psalms of Lament give us the language to express how we really feel, but in a godly way, letting out our pain, our frustration, our grief, or even a sense of God's abandonment. Letting it out so that God can take our negative emotions and transform them into his peace and hope. And if we lack even the strength to pray the Psalms, we can pray the beggar's prayer, which again we say every Sunday. When we are at rock bottom with nothing left to give, when we are too confused to formulate a coherent thought, we can still cry out to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy," and be assured that he hears us. One final suggestion for when you suffer. It may help you to take the comfort in God's mercy shown to his saints who have gone before us. Whether recounted in the Bible, such as in Revelation, or by reading the fascinating history of the church, or even just remembering the lives of family members or friends, we can remind ourselves how God has helped countless people persevere in suffering. Reading the accounts of others is a reminder that you need never be alone in your suffering. Here in this community, as in the wider church, there are fellow Christians who love the privilege of praying for you, especially when you can't pray for yourself. Here there are brothers and sisters who would gladly bring you God's word, particularly when you can't read it for yourself, or who are willing simply to sit with you as you persevere through your sufferings. Justified people of God, whatever you are suffering now, be assured that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is with you in your suffering. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has made peace between you and the Father, and because the Holy Spirit has poured out his love into your hearts, you have hope. And if your sufferings are so great that you cannot see that hope, then simply persevere with God's help. He promises to help you endure your suffering, and through it, he promises that he will build your character, which will in turn produce hope again. And he promises that that godly hope will never put you to shame. Amen. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen.